Vegetarian meats are nudging the ground beef aside. I mean, we're into these things like never before. The assumption is mock meat is healthier than real meat. Well, yeah, except take a look at the labels. Some have a longer list of ingredients than a bag of Cheetos. A Washington Post food editor, Joe Yonan, recently became a vegetarian, and he's been mulling the non-meat meat idea. Joe's written, "Eat your vegetables." Sally Swift caught up with Joe in the studios of WAMU.
Joe, nice to have you with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So tell me what the tradition is behind mock meats.
Well, it goes back a lot further than I had thought. It goes back to 7th century China, when, from a Buddhist tradition, the nuns and monks realized that they could, I'm not sure exactly how they realized this, that they could, if they rinsed and kneaded wheat, that they would have a product that was malleable enough to play the part of meat. And because of their religion, they were abstaining from meat, and so they were looking for other sources. You know, and then in China, in Hangzhou was a particularly important place for this. There were chefs who specialized in creating items that were beautifully artistically formed to look like meat. And in fact, the look was even more important than the flavor, I think, in some of those. It was something called, I'm going to murder the pronunciation, but it was mianqing. And it was a way to fool the eye. And then possibly fool the palate.
And when did this tradition start here? It's pretty recent, correct?
Yeah. I think one of the big developments was the macrobiotic movement in the 70s, when a lot of hippies in the United States were taking their cues from Japan and from macrobiotic gurus like Michio Kuchi. And they used it in a lot of the foods that they were cooking at the time. And so that's why you see it combined a lot with soy, a lot with Japanese seasonings from those traditions.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, sales are just through the roof of these products, and I'm assuming people are eating them because they're healthier. And
right.
Indeed, are they, for the most part?
I think that's a really interesting question and a really open question, open to a lot of interpretation about what is helpful. From my perspective, nothing is as helpful as a whole food, but I think it's hard to say. I mean, there's certainly often they're lower in saturated fat, and sometimes they're lower in calories. But there's all sorts of other ingredients in most of these. You know, and we're talking about the tofurkies and the shamburgers of the world.
Their ingredient list is as long as a bag of Cheetos in some cases.
It's crazy.
And why do you think we need to have something pretend to be meat?
That is a $64,000 question, isn't it? That's what everyone wonders. If you're a vegetarian, why wouldn't you just eat vegetables? And if you don't want to eat meat, why do you want to eat something that reminds you of meat? And I think people come at this from all sorts of different perspectives. You know, for me, I turn to vegetarianism partly from a health perspective and an environmental perspective too. But I'm not one of those vegetarians that finds the very idea of meat to be off-putting or stomach turning. So I don't see something that's pretending to be meat and I don't find it offensive, but there is a part of me that thinks, why? I think for the most part, it's that people need baby steps. And if they think that they want to move toward more plant-based eating, I think it's helpful for some people to think about it in a familiar context. One of the makers of one of the products that I talked to about this, you know, talked about how we have millennia of meat-centered diet behind us. And so you can't change that kind of culture overnight. And so when he talks to people about their eating, he's thinking, you know, how can I get people to find it easy to eat more plant-based foods?
It's pretending to be chicken.
Right.
So tell me a couple that you like, because you've tasted quite a few.
Yes. And the ones that I tend to like are the ones that are based on a seitan tradition. And seitan is actually closely connected to that mianqing tradition that I mentioned earlier. It's a wheat gluten base. And I like those better than the soy-based ones and better than the TVP ones, texturized vegetable protein. Yum! And the ones that are based on seitan that I like are Field Roast, which is a company that's been around for a while now, based in Seattle. And one called Upton's Naturals, which is a newer company based in Chicago.
And is Upton the one that fooled Mark Bittman? Is that the chicken?
No. Okay. The one that fooled Mark Bittman is called Eerily Beyond Meat. It sounds so Orwellian, doesn't it?
I guess it worked, though, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And I tried that one. They sent me some before it was available, and I sampled it with some friends at a dinner party. You know, when I was at my sister and brother-in-law's house, and they raised chickens, and so I thought it would be fun. I pulled out a plate of this and served it. I didn't serve it directly next to the other chicken. I just thought that would be too unfair. But I served it on its own, and it's white meat, well, supposed to look like white meat chicken strips, and I served it unadorned. And several people thought that it was okay, and some even thought that it was fine. But then other people started saying things like, what breed of chicken is this? It tastes a little starchy, and it tastes almost like, one person said it tasted like the meat eater's version of tofu, which I thought was funny. And other people tasted it and said, well, that doesn't taste bad, but that's not chicken. You know, sir, I know chicken, and you are no chicken. But I've since tasted it again, and they're selling it with more seasoning on it now. And what's strangely chicken-like about Beyond Meat is the texture. I think they're extruding it at a certain point. So it's got these fibers, sort of like, well, exactly like
chicken
meat. Yeah, like chicken breast meat. So when you tear it, it really seems a lot like chicken. And it's made from peas and carrots, but it's also got a lot of, you know, those unpronounceable ingredients in it. And the founder that I talked to is hoping to simplify the ingredient list because it bothers him too. Like, he really would like to be able to have a simpler product.
And what about corn? It's spelled Q-U-O-R-N.
Right.
It's a fungus, correct?
That's right. Yeah. So the first ingredient in corn is mycoprotein. And they feel the need to say, of course, because who knows what mycoprotein is. They feel the need to say on the package, I've got one right here, corn chicken tenders are made with mycoprotein. Myco is Greek for fungi and are completely meatless and soy-free. What I find interesting about corn, it's not bad. What I find interesting about it is that the second ingredient is egg white. And I mean, I'm not vegan, so that doesn't really bother me. But it seems to me that that would be an obstacle for a lot of people for it not to be vegan.
If you read the label.
Right. If you read the label, right.
Yeah, that's interesting. Joe, thank you.
Sure. My pleasure.
Joe Yonan is author of Eat Your Vegetables, Bold Recipes for the Single Cook. Well, the recipe he shared with us proves that point. It's kimchi deviled eggs, and not a mock meat in sight. It's on the website, splendidtable.org.